The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday.
Live
in the Israel Update with Anthony Rice, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Rice, a very good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Shavua Tov and Chanukah Sameach for the last time this year. How are you guys doing today, Howard?
Yes, good, thank you. Not good news coming out of Israel. 7 people wounded in a drive-by terror attack near Ofra, north of Jerusalem, last night. What is known about the attack?
Well, what we know from the media reports that I've read, obviously this is something that took place well into the night last night. I think it was around 9 o'clock that this incident took place. But it seems as if there was a group of people who were standing at a bus stop, which also acts as a hitchhiking point, just outside of the settlement of Ofra. And we understand that there'd been a Chanukah party last night at Ofra and that quite a lot of people had come to the place to celebrate Chanukah from outside. And this was around the time that they were probably heading home. And so quite a number of young people actually hanging around the area trying to get themselves home either by bus or by hitchhiking. It's quite common around those parts for people to hitchhike even at late hours of the night. And interestingly, the pictures that I've seen from the area show the bus stop, which has these huge barriers in front of it in order to prevent these ramming raids that we saw so frequently over the past year or two, where vehicles were used to ram into crowds of people standing at bus stops and things like that. So this was one of those bus stops that was actually protected by these protections around that a car couldn't actually ram into people. But unfortunately, on this occasion, it was a drive-by shooting. A car literally just drove by at fair speed and started to fire live rounds towards the people who were standing at the bus stop. As it turns out, these 7 people were injured. A young pregnant lady, 21 years old, was seriously injured, together with her husband, who was also lightly injured, and a number of other people who were moderately and lightly injured. But this pregnant lady is really the source of the main concern, because not only was she pregnant, but indeed she was quite badly injured by the shooting that took place. And we understand that she was taken with her baby obviously she was pregnant, but she was taken to Shaare Tzedek Hospital in Jerusalem, where her baby was born prematurely but safely. So apparently the child is safe. The mother, however, not so much. She's still in serious condition. She's undergoing various operation surgery in order to try to fix the damage that was done to her. So our prayers today are with that young mother now, whose baby was safely delivered, that she will live to be able to enjoy raising her child. And how unnecessary this is, really. I don't know what objective has been achieved here in the process of this incident. But this is a very, very serious and very sad incident. And it shows that, you know, even though we can go out and celebrate Hanukkah, and we've all had a great time over Hanukkah, it's been a really wonderful time, yet, you know, we always have these little reminders that our situation is really not a normal one. And we have to be very careful no matter what we're up to.
And in fact, Ilana Stein, thanks Ilana for sending me this. She says, I'm not sure, Howard, if you remember Hilton Silberstein from B'nai Akiva days, the woman fighting for her life in Israel is his daughter. And Hilton, of course, is an ex-South African living in Israel. It is his daughter who has sustained these terrible injuries.
So our prayers are definitely with her and the family today. And of course, with a young child that was born prematurely yesterday as a result of this incident. As I say, there can be nothing that could justify, really nothing that could justify an attack of this type. Very random, just drive past and take a pot shot at people standing outside, you know, really not interfering with anybody at all. We understand from the IDF that they are still looking for the perpetrators of this attack. Obviously, more than one person involved, at least a driver and a shooter, because they wouldn't have been doing both at the same time. And so our prayers today are with those people who have been injured, with that young child and with the mother And of course, we hope that the IDF will bring to justice the people who have perpetrated this attack.
So we've seen that Hamas has praised the attack, and they've said that it's sort of a wonderful display of resistance to hit the vulnerable. There's no surprise there that they would have. We know that the Palestinian Authority will fund the family of the terrorists in celebration. But has anybody? Do we know anything further as to which group is responsible?
At the moment, there isn't really much information about who could have carried out this attack, and I think that the IDF and the security forces are keeping things fairly close to their chest right now as they look for the individuals who were carried out this attack. So they're not being too public about who they're looking for or what suspicions they have about the groups that might have been involved, if indeed there were groups involved. It's all being done fairly low-key at the moment from a public perspective, but you can be sure that the IDF will be looking at the camera footage, and they will be talking to people, and they will be using their intelligence sources in order to try to gauge exactly who would have been involved. And I'm sure that in due course, the perpetrators will be arrested, will be brought to justice. And the question just is how long it will take until they get there. And sometimes, it takes a little bit longer. Not necessarily because they're working slower, but because they have different tactics that they use in order to try to bring all the people who were involved out into the open. Don't forget that we're not necessarily only looking for the people who were in the car, but there may well have been a chain behind that that would have been supplying the weapons and supplying the money and, talking about the targets of the attack and things like that. There might have been more to this than just simply an opportunistic drive-by shooting by a lone wolf crowd in a car. So I think that the IDF will be looking not only for the actual perpetrators, but indeed if there's a group behind it and if there are links and if there's funding, exactly where all of this is coming from. And as a result of having to follow those chains, it sometimes takes a little bit longer for the people who've perpetrated the attack to be brought to justice.
Absolutely right. Syrian state media reported last night that an air defense system was activated against a threat and then decided that the alleged airstrike did not take place and deleted the report. What caused this, do you think?
This is a very strange story, but I think this is indicative of the kind of nervous feeling that they have in Syria right now, because Israel is constantly watching what's going on. And it seems as if, though, the whole incident began a lot earlier during the day, around 5 o'clock, when a huge plane, some people call it an Iranian cargo plane, some people have said it was a 747, others have said it is a 707, but it seems as if though some Iranian plane definitely landed in Damascus yesterday afternoon, and it caused some consternation, it caused some attention to be drawn, because very frequently when these Iranian cargo planes are landing in Damascus, then it means they are bringing equipment, war equipment, they're bringing military equipment, whether it be arms and ammunition or other heavier military supplies. That's usually the case. And it seems as if that this created a whole series of sensitivities around exactly what was going on at Damascus Airport, to the point that last night, all of a sudden, even Syrian state media, so we're not only talking about anecdotal evidence of people around the airport who seem to be the source of many of the stories that come out about incidents that happen at the airport, but this was actually reported by Syrian state media that some air defense system was activated, and then apparently it was a false alarm and it wasn't activated, and the story, as you said, was deleted. But I just wonder whether there isn't actually something a little bit more to the story, that maybe something really did happen, but that Syrian state media, in their wisdom, decided that it wasn't something that they necessarily wanted it to be in the public eye, and so just decided to call it a false alarm and therefore delete it and make out as if that had never happened, because this story was never going to make them look good, whichever way it would have been reported. So it's a very strange story, but I'm sort of not convinced that nothing happened and that it was a false alarm and that, it was just one of those things. I suspect that there may well have been an incident yesterday that was initially reported, and then they thought better of it because it was going to make them look silly or present them in a negative light. And all stories were then withdrawn, and there were claims of false alarms and things like that. So I just wonder whether we're going to hear a little bit more about this in due course. Obviously, the Israeli side is not saying anything at all. They have neither denied nor confirmed these reports, and they have not even really said anything at all. And that's what we would expect. But, you know, I have a sneaky suspicion that there may well have been an incident yesterday, and that unfortunately, despite the Russian-supplied anti-air defense missile systems that the Syrian government is operating, they were unable to stop whatever was going on, and it kind of made them look like they have no ability to defend themselves at all, and this is not what they wanted to go out in the international media. That's purely my speculation. I have absolutely no grounds at all for saying this. I have no information which may support my point of view. It's just a gut instinct.
Yeah, but I think having seen this many times before, it's probably the correct one. Finally, Prime Minister Netanyahu has put in a request to German Chancellor Angela Merkel for the German government to stop funding the Berlin Jewish Museum. Why was this request made?
So this is a very strange request, because you would have thought that, you know, the Israeli government would have in the interest that the Berlin Jewish Museum would indeed be funded, whether it be by the German government or anybody else. But apparently there is some sort of an exhibition that's been put on at the Berlin Jewish Museum that, in inverted commas, reflects the Palestinian Muslim view on Jerusalem. This is the way that it has been presented, and the Israeli government has actually taken exception to this particular exhibition, feeling that it represents Israel and Jerusalem in a completely inaccurate light, and has therefore requested the German government to stop their funding of this museum. Apparently, the request went in the form of a seven-page letter. I have no idea what people would write in seven pages to request that the funding is stopped, but apparently it was a seven-page letter. And this was apparently sent directly to the office of Angela Merkel by the Prime Minister's office rather than via the embassy, which would normally be the protocol for these types of communications. So a lot of different ways of dealing with things that would you know normally be dealt with via the embassy and via certain protocol, and on this occasion that has not been the case at all. But apparently this exhibition has actually got quite a lot of support from various bodies, including an Israeli magazine, which apparently is not particularly pro-Israel in terms of what's going on in Jerusalem at the moment. And, you know, there's been a lot of anti-Israel propaganda that has been put out in Germany, support for the BDS movement in Germany, and apparently also at the Berlin International Film Festival, which, you know, also has represented many anti-Israel views. So this is just another one of those points of view that are being expressed at the Jewish Museum of all locations in Berlin, which shows a point of view about Jerusalem which is not consistent with the way in which the Israeli government would like the point of view of Jerusalem to be presented in the international arena, and hence the request to the German government to cease funding. I understand that this request has, for now at least, fallen on deaf ears, and that the German government has not agreed to cease their funding. And I expect that they probably won't, because, you know, there is this dilemma that the German government will have about being seen to be pro-Jewish in terms of supporting the Jewish community in Germany, as opposed to being pro-Israel. And we do know that the German government and the Israeli government do have this ongoing dialogue with intergovernmental visits on a regular basis. So there has been a lot of there have been good relations between the German and the Israeli governments over the past few years. I'm not sure that this is necessarily going to help those good relations. But it's an interesting story. And once again, a sad sign that Jewish groups around the world in the diaspora are taking a very, very anti-Israel point of view in presenting things to the general public. And this is something which is of massive interest to me, to understand why Jewish groups would choose to take a view like this, which presents Israel in such a negative light in their own community. That's something maybe we can talk about at another stage. Absolutely. It is a fairly widespread thing that we see going on these days.
Anthony, I've just got an update from Hatzolah in Israel to say the condition of the baby rescued from the pregnant woman shot by terrorists has worsened overnight, and the baby remains now in critical condition. So very bad news indeed. Please God, the baby will still continue to fight and to thrive, but not good news coming from Hatzolah this morning, right now, in fact.
So we'll pray for the life of the baby. We'll pray for the life of that young mother.
Absolutely.
You know, I think all prayers would be welcome, and we'll keep a watch on the story over the next day or two as well.
Indeed. It is 8 o'clock. That's Anthony Reich with the Israel Report. Not easy news this morning coming out of Israel. We will certainly keep you posted on that story. It is.